The rainbow flag. Whose symbol is it anyway? Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Ken Ham. Ken Ham is the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis. He's also the creator of the Ark Encounter in Williamstown, Kentucky. And recently there was some controversy because at the Ark Encounter they used a rainbow flag. And a lot of people who don't know their Bibles don't realize, you know, where did this thing come from in the first place? Ken, welcome to the program. Thanks so much for taking some of your time to be with us.
Hi, it's great to be with you again.
Okay, so tell us the controversy.
Well, you know, in the Bible, in Genesis 9, it makes it very, very clear that God made a contract, if you like, a covenant between himself and man, that he would never again send another global flood. And as a sign of that covenant, he said the rainbow, when it's seen, will be one sign to remember that God will never again judge the world with a global flood. And so in Genesis 9, it makes that very clear that the sign of the rainbow, connects to the God who promised never again to flood the world as he did at the time of Noah's day. And of course, the rainbow really is a reminder of God's grace and mercy. It's a reminder that God is a God to judge. It's a reminder of the flood. And so it's a reminder that God judges the wickedness of man, but God at the same time is a God of grace and mercy. And so God, in his mercy, had Noah build an ark so that those who went through the door could be saved. And of course, the door of the ark is a picture of Jesus. The rainbow is also used in scripture, like in Ezekiel, for instance, and in Revelation. It's really used as a symbol of Christ as well. Well, when it came to Christmas and we have all these lights at Christmas, we have spectacular lights at the Creation Museum, we decided to light up the life-size ark that we built here in Kentucky, and it's been an incredible facility, attracting people from all around the world. It was opened in 2016, in July 2016. Well, we decided to light it up with colors of a rainbow, you know, sort of depicting a rainbow. And I wrote an article about that and said, we're taking the rainbow back. And one of the reasons we wanted the rainbow to be so very visible is because it does remind people of God's word and God's promise to mankind, and the fact that God is a God of grace and mercy, as well as a God who judges. Well, when I wrote about taking it back, I was referring to the fact that the gay movement, the LGBT movement, has really used the rainbow as a symbol of the gay movement, and they have their rainbow flag. And it's interesting because, you know, bright colors used to be used by certain people to signal to others, you know, their particular orientation in regard to that. And, you know, yellow socks were used in Australia, and even, you know, during the Holocaust, pink triangles basically were used to point out men who were gay, and so it goes on. So
Wait. That last example was one where they were being persecuted for being gay. The other examples were more like signals of trying to attract people.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I'm just making the point that in the history here, that colors have been used associated with, you know, people who are gay for whatever reasons. And eventually in the 70s, you know, the rainbow flag was actually put together to basically be a sign of the gay movement, and it was adjusted from, they had 8 colors originally, and then they couldn't get the pink, so they left that off and eventually adjusted it down to 6 colors. But a lot of people don't realize that rainbow flag, there they think that, oh, it's been a sign of, you know, the gay movement or whatever. But a lot of people, because there's so much biblical illiteracy around, and because people don't know what the Bible teaches, don't realize that, wait a minute, this is a modern use of the rainbow in regard to that. And in some ways, I wonder whether it's not, you know, not that many people may be using the rainbow flag for the gay movement, not that they even know about the rainbow in the Bible and what it really means. And it's a symbol of Christ, and it was a reminder of God's promise and so on. They might not even know about that. But in a way, I think the rainbow, by putting the rainbow flag there, it's almost provocative in regard to God, because, you know, the rainbow for the Christian is a reminder of the judgment of the flood because of man's wickedness. And I'm sure man's wickedness before the flood was as bad or worse than Sodom and Gomorrah and places like that. And so really using the rainbow as a sign for a movement that stands for something that undermines what God teaches in regard to male and female, in regard to marriage, in regard to the family and so on, is really in a sense provoking God in that way. But I wanted people to understand that the rainbow in Scripture, I mean, 4,300 years ago, God said the rainbow was to be a sign of his covenant between God and man. And, you know, in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament, we read of the rainbow being a symbol of Christ. And so I wanted to tell people, hey, we're using the ark to be lit up as a rainbow, to take back the rainbow. In other words, to let people know what the rainbow really means. And some of the secular world got very upset at this, and they wrote all sorts of articles, and it got into various news feeds and so on, mocking me and upset that we would do this, because I think many of these secular world see the rainbow as so equated with the LGBT movement that how dare we as Christians use the rainbow associated with Christianity. And, you know, because of that, we originally were just going to have the ark lit up as a rainbow at Christmas for our Christmas lights. But because it received so much attention in the news feeds and the secular world was so upset at this, I thought, you know, we need to make sure that we keep the ark lit up as a rainbow at nighttime permanently. And so that's what we're moving to do right now.
Wow. So you're not trying to provoke people. What you're trying to do is remind people that in answer to my question at the very beginning, the rainbow flag or the rainbow, whose symbol is it anyway? And the answer is God's.
Exactly. I mean, that was the purpose of it. And, you know, I did write an article saying we need to, you know, take back the rainbow. And what I meant by that was, hey, we need people to understand what the original sign of the rainbow, what it's all about. And, you know, associated with the LGBT movement is a very modern phenomenon. And it really started, you know, back in the 70s in a fairly, you know, big way to be associated that way. But hey, 4,300 years ago, that's a long time ago, the rainbow was told by God to be a reminder of the covenant between him and man and a sign of his promise. And so, yeah, we need to get the message out there what the rainbow really is all about, and, you know, other places in Scripture where it actually symbolizes Christ, as I said, like in Ezekiel or in Revelation 4, where you have the rainbow associated with Christ. And so, you know, we need people to understand, you know, hey, this is what the rainbow is all about. This is what the Bible says about it. You know, this rainbow flag being, you know, associated with the LGBT movement, that's just a very modern thing. And so we're taking back the rainbow to tell you what it was all about. This is God's sign for God's promise. And the secular world don't like it. They don't like it at all. They got so upset by it. And, you know, many of them even, I think they're so biblically illiterate. I had people getting on my Facebook and Twitter and claiming that that the LGBT movement was the one that originally had the rainbow, and how dare we say Christians had it and so on. They have no concept of biblical history.
Isn't that amazing? Do you see parallels between today and as in the days of Noah?
I do in many ways. You know, first of all, if you think of the days of Noah, here's what I remind people of. No wonder Noah is in Hebrews 11 in that hall of fame, that we might call it there, you know, those people who are there because of their incredible faith. If you think about in Noah's day, only 8 people went on board that ark. So only Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives went on board that ark. The rest of the world, not one of them believed Noah's message. So they were in incredible rebellion against God. And the Bible says that every thought of their heart was evil continuously. And you can imagine when you look at evil in the world today and you look at those that sin against God and you see what's happening and you realize how bad that must have been at that time. I tell you, I have great admiration for Noah. And as I read about, you know, by faith Noah there in Hebrews 11, I think, wow, just think, if amidst all of that wickedness, the perverse goings on that must have been occurring, the violence, the horrible things, wow, and Noah could build an ark and obey God, what a great man of faith he must have been. But, you know, when you look at today's world and we start to see some of the rebellion in our culture, and, you know, you read Romans 1 and read about a sign that God is turning a culture over to judgment because of its rebellion, and you see they worship the creature more than the creator, and the sign of homosexual behavior, I think we're starting to get a little sense. I mean, we think things have gotten pretty bad in our Western world. I would say they're nowhere near as bad as what it must have been like at the time of Noah, but I think we get a sense today of what it might have been like. And we, from a Christian perspective, we see how far America has fallen, and we see our whole Western world becoming more secularized, and so I think we're becoming more like the days of Noah. So in a way, I think it's very fitting for us to actually at this time build a life-size Noah's Ark and to light it up as a rainbow, as a reminder to people of the fact that God is a God who judges wickedness, but at the same time, he is a God who provides an ark of salvation. And God's Son stepped into history and said, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. And so Noah's Ark is a picture of Jesus, and that door is a picture of salvation.
And one aspect, too, of the days of Noah that is mentioned in the Bible that I see just the growing tendency in America is just violence. You know, there was violence on the face of the earth, and you see so much violence. I mean, stranger against stranger, and it's just terrible. And so the parallels between Noah's day and ours seem, you know, very striking.
I agree with you there. And, you know, Scripture talks about, you know, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. And, you know, as I even read in the Old Testament, and I realize these promises were given to the Israelites, but nonetheless, you know, if you obey God, and, you know, your enemies will be at peace with you, and so on. And I believe God's principles apply, you know, across the world. The more that people reject God, and the more that they throw God out of the culture. And think about it, that's what's happened in America. I mean, they basically have thrown God out of the public education system and wanting to throw God out of the public arena and getting rid of nativity scenes. And we see an anti-Christian emphasis that's growing in our culture. You know, it used to be that Christians were favored in the culture, in a sense, looked upon with favor, I should say. But now, more increasingly, we see, you know, if you're a Christian, well, then, you know, there's something wrong there, and you're intolerant, and you shouldn't be allowed to be doing what you do, and so on. We see a secular intolerance of Christianity and of the freedom of you know, expressing your religion in public life, the free exercise of religion. As people do that, we're told, no, you can't do that. You can only do that in your house or inside your church building or whatever. And so we're seeing that increasingly God is being thrown out of this culture and this anti-Christian emphasis. And I believe what happens then is that God will turn a culture over to its own devices.
And
God withdraws his blessing and withdraws the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit, we will see all sorts of things happening, increasing violence and people turning against people and friend against friend and people in their own families turning against each other, and then the increase in homosexual behavior. You know, really, it's Romans 1 happening before our very eyes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know, when you throw out God, then, you know, anything goes. Okay, we have half a minute left. You don't ever see the day coming where the gay movement would say, okay, forget the rainbow flag because it's God's symbol after all. Do you?
No, I don't see that at all. In fact, in many ways, I think they would flaunt it out there even more, basically shaking their fist at God and saying, we're taking this over. This is us. This is ours. I would see the opposite as actually occurring because of their rebellion against God. And, you know, the scripture makes it clear that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And Satan always tries to take that which is God's and then use it to basically come against God as the creator.
Yeah. Ken Ham, thanks so much for being with us. Answersingenesis.org. God bless you, sir. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.